This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So as you've probably been hearing all day, the government has banned motorcycle e-hailing taxi services because of a high casualty rate involving riders and passengers from road accidents. So we want to get into that.
So just to recap what was said in Parliament, Deputy Transport Minister Dato Henry Sum Agung said that there is going to be no proposal to introduce the e-hailing of motorcycles in terms of safety issues as well as the risk that it would pose to passengers. So they cited statistics on road accidents in 2019 from the police, and basically 64% of deaths were from motorcycle accidents. And so this translates to more than 3,900 motorcycle deaths out of overall more than 6,000 deaths. This was in response to a question that was posed by Julau MP Larry Sung.
And he didn't really like the answer, I think. So Larry Sung, along with Muar MP Syed Saddiq, basically didn't agree. Larry questioned why the government didn't follow examples from other countries very close to us, Thailand, Indonesia, in terms of looking at how to implement bike hailing services. And it's no surprise that Syed Saddiq spoke up because he had been lobbying for Gojek to enter Malaysia. And so he wanted the government to elaborate on the call because the previous Pakatan Harapan administration had actually allowed for conditional authorization for motorcycle taxi hailing services to operate for a 6-month period. All of which to say, I think it's fair to sum up as good points on both sides. But then if you look into it a little more deeply, there are all these questions, not just of safety, but also of readiness, of demand, all these different things entering the picture. So that's what we want to get into. But we'd like to hear from you. Would you like to see motorcycle e-hailing services in Malaysia? Would you use it, in fact? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us to unpack all of this is Rosli Azad, transport consultant. Rosli, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Sharmila, for inviting me to the show.
No worries. So we heard earlier the Deputy Minister talking about there not going to be a proposal, they're not moving ahead with motorcycle e-hailing. What did you think of the decision?
I think they have got their reasons, obviously. And, you know, from my perspective, I think they are quite right about the number of accidents that involve in motorcycles. You know, it's not just for 2019. I think it has been going on for some time, for many years, more than 10 years, if I recall. So the high rate of motorcycle accidents could be due to various reasons, but that in itself doesn't give a good image on motorcycle e-hailing, because the confidence of the potential passengers may not be there.
So could you help us contextualize those numbers that the minister shared, right? So he said that in 2019, 3,900 motorcycle deaths from 6,167 overall deaths. What does this actually tell us about motorist safety?
This is a bad number. I mean, Malaysia is actually one of the highest, I think if not the world, I think certainly in Southeast Asia, we are just behind Thailand, I think, in terms of number of deaths. But, 3,900 per year for 2019 is very high. You're talking about an average of about 11 or 12 deaths per day, you know, on Malaysian road for motorcyclists alone. So, and I think we should do something about safety, motorcycle safety and road safety in general. But I think somebody mentioned about pay more attention to the safety of motorcyclists, and we have not done that so far. Yeah.
If we look at bike hailing specifically, right, is there actually a demand, you think, for it here?
No, that's the interesting question, isn't it? I mean, it's a matter of perception. Demand is related to partly perception. If you perceive that motorbike ride hailing is safe, then I think people would like to try it out. But the image that it has built over the years is that motorcycle riding in Malaysia is not safe. So that indirectly contribute to the demand situation. I'm sure there are many people who have been abroad. I've been to Thailand and Indonesia myself. I don't mind taking motorbike in those countries because I know that it is safe. But in Malaysia, looking at the way motorcyclists ride in this country, the safety elements are very lacking. And I like to raise this point about the driving behavior among our motorcyclists are much to be desired. I think the public can see for themselves. They use their vehicles a lot on the road, and whether they like it or not, they are always surrounded by motorcyclists. When you stop at the traffic lights, if you are driving a car, you stop at the traffic light. But motorcyclists don't stop. They just go through the red lights. And for many years, I'm sorry to say that the enforcement has been lacking on this side. So this is the image that we have of motorcyclists. And if you recall, many years ago, we have got this motorcyclist racing all the time, you know, late into the night, in the evening, and so on. And I think the police did a good job in controlling that menace, you know. Plus, also the fact that now, I think most of them are busy doing the food deliveries. So they don't have time to get into racing anymore and that sort of menace to the society. So that one has been, you know, left behind. But like I said, the image has not changed. You know, the perception of the public toward motorcyclists are not there.
So our neighbours, Thailand, Indonesia, Vietnam, they've been able to implement bike e-hailing services. What have they done right? What kind of systems do they have in place that has made this possible for them?
Okay, if you look at Indonesia, people who have been to Jakarta or Surabaya, they will see how congested the city is. So in that sort of situation, if you don't have mass transit in places like Surabaya or Jakarta, I mean, you're talking about 10 years, 11 years ago in Jakarta, there was no mass transit except for buses, which compete on the same road surface as other vehicles. So the time of traveling by bus is actually slower than if you were to take cars. But the opportunity came for you to ride on the motorbike. So which is faster, the journey time will be shorter, and then you get to your office or to your place of destination quicker. So people don't mind using motorbike. But I must point out, This particular point in Jakarta or Indonesia generally, that the rules there are very, very strict. They don't allow motorcyclists to use the highway. So the motorcyclists can only use the urban road, if you like, you know, all the side roads in the Jalan Tikus, they call it, in Jakarta. So, and they follow. There's a strict enforcement On motorcyclists whenever they go on the highway. And it doesn't happen. If you travel between the airport to the city in Jakarta, you don't see any bikes at all. So they enforce that, you know, which in our case, we don't. We built a motorcycle lane for Federal Highway and for Kasas Highway, but they don't use them. They don't use the motorcycle lane and nobody enforce it, you know. So they mix with the other traffic and so on. That's how accidents happen when other motorists don't expect motorcyclists to be following them or overtaking on the left and so on, because they expect motorcyclists to be traveling on the motorcycle lane. But then here you are, you know, lack of enforcement. and the public then seems to be like, you know, complaining. So we have a high number of accidents in Malaysia as a result.
So it kind of doesn't sound like it, but I'm just curious, are there lessons that we could actually take from our neighbours that would be directly applicable to Malaysia?
No, I think we have got laws in place, and we can be strict about it if we choose to. And I think if we come to a point that, okay, enough is enough about all these accidents on the highways and so on, so we need to ban motorcyclists, at least the smaller motorbikes, 250cc and below, from getting on the highways, right? So if you recall, there has been a lot of cases. I remember very well in Kajang at one time when it was raining heavily. It was on the highway. Motorcyclists had to stop because it was raining. And where did they stop? Under the overhead bridge, right? And they were rammed by other motorists, other cars from behind. And there were so many people died, I think, during that incident. I think 7 or 8 people, motorcyclists, died as a result. But that's because they were allowed to use the highway in the first place. And they had to stop because it was raining. So can you blame them for using the highways? It's because we allowed them to use the highways. So, you know, and given the choice, of course, it's shorter. They don't have to pay toll. Of course, motorcyclists, we want to use the highway. It's quicker, right? But if we control this, we say that, okay, you can only use, you know, the existing roads, not the highways. Highways is meant for traffic speeding at high speed, 110 kilometers per hour, 90 kilometers per hour, which motorcycle cannot match. So this is where, if any accident happens, it gets fatal. And for motorcyclists, not for the car users, but for motorcyclists. So that's why you see the numbers are so high.
We have just about a minute left. You've outlined, I think, a lot of the challenges, but I wonder, what are the long-term benefits if we do introduce bike hailing services here?
Okay, there are opportunities for bike hailing, but may not be in urban areas like KL, PJ, and so on. But in rural places, rural towns, where there are no highways, they have to travel on normal roads, and where the demand is quite low. And if you live in rural towns where there are no public transport, there's no mass transit, there's no MRT or LRT, you rely on buses, which are not reliable, then you can have ride hailing in those places. You know, in Sabah and Sarawak, if they want to have ride hailing, let them do it, but control it, set the regulations, you know, and all these do's and don'ts and so on, put it in place and enforce them. You know, in places like East Coast or Kedah, if they want to have ride hailing, let them have it, but set the regulations straight and enforce them. You know, these are low demand areas where the reliability of public transport is not there, and people need to move from one place to another. So they need that. So such services can be implemented in those places, but not in urban areas, busy urban areas like where all the highways, you know, we have highways all over the place here in Klang Valley.
Rosli, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
That was Rosli Azad, transport consultant, weighing in on the announcement that the government is not planning to introduce e-hailing of motorcycles in our country. We've been asking you what you make of this. Would you use it? Do you want it here? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, it's Everyone's a Critic, and Sharmila is going to be reviewing Larry. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.